Today's scripture reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, John chapter 16, verses 8 to 15. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Chapter 16, verses 8 to 15. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and he will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Chris, for reading this morning's scripture for us. I'm James, an associate minister of Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. May the force be with you. It's one of the most famous lines in movie history, especially for Star Wars fans like me. What is the force anyway? Is it a predictable power like gravity, or some kind of mysterious energy like the wind? Either way, a force is impersonal. You can't relate to it, and it cannot be with you all the time. Unless you walk with the wind always at your back, which is quite impossible, or you plant your head beneath a falling object, then the force isn't with you as much as it is on you. Now, the concept of the force isn't limited to just movies, physics, or nature. Many people apply it in their belief system as well. When they hear the word spiritual or spirit, they think about a force that appears in the form of a phantom, or what the Chinese will know as qi energy. When Paul commands believers to be filled with the spirit, they think it's like water filling up a bottle. And when they hear about someone talk about the Holy Spirit, well then, their imaginations run wild. What comes to your mind when you think about the Holy Spirit? Do you think that the Holy Spirit is something that is associated with unusual Christian experiences, like feeling a spiritual high, seeing visions, receiving revelations, healing, or perhaps speaking in tongues? Or it causes people to fall back and roll around on the floor, like what we call slain by the Spirit? Or perhaps the Spirit is just irrelevant to any thinking Christian because it's all about emotions. Let's face it, there's a lot of misconceptions about the Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. So starts the Apostles' Creed, third paragraph. Today, we will explore some aspects of who the Spirit is and what he does, because he can become very real to you and make a tremendous difference in your life, or he can remain as a mysterious stranger who means nothing at all to you. It all depends on how well you know and experience the Holy Spirit. Let's pray and ask God to show us. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. Show us the relevance of the Spirit in our lives. Spirit, help us to know you more and experience you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's begin with a truth that seems simple, just as what Pastor Serene has mentioned just now, but it's often misunderstood. The Holy Spirit is a person and not a force. Now, although many of us know that the Spirit is a person, we often treat him like an impersonal force or power, like the force from Star Wars, something that flows through you or you can tap into when needed. But the Spirit is much more than a power or a tool. The Spirit is a divine person. He is God. And just like you don't use God, you don't use the Holy Spirit. He uses us. But more than that, the Spirit desires to have a relationship with us. Now, the Holy Spirit has qualities only a person can have, and thus things only a person can do. The Bible tells us that the Spirit knows about God. He has a will, and he can be grieved. We know that a force can be resisted, but a force cannot feel sorrow. The Spirit speaks to us, he teaches us, and he guides us. All these indicate that the Spirit isn't an inanimate power, but a personal being. Let's explore some implications of the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. First, the Holy Spirit desires a relationship with us. But Reverend James, what's important to me is that I know Jesus. I experience Jesus and I follow Jesus. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with this? Let's consider Jesus' words in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. Now, Jesus promises his disciples that he will ask the Father to send them the Spirit to be with them forever. Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as another helper, which is translated from the Greek word parakletos. Now, a parakletos is someone who comes alongside you. He helps you. He comforts you in times of grief. He counsels you at the crossroads in your life when you don't know what decision to make. He encourages you when you feel that you can't carry on anymore. He's like a personal, faithful companion, a friend. The Spirit, as another parakletos, will be the disciples' companion, like Jesus himself, the first parakletos when he was with them on earth. Jesus assures his disciples that after he is gone, they won't be left alone. Instead, the Holy Spirit will be with them forever, empowering them to live according to God's will. Now, we often don't realize that when Jesus ascended to heaven, he's no longer with us. Only through the Spirit can we experience Jesus' presence. Jesus' promise that he'll be with us forever is fulfilled through the Spirit's presence with us. We can only know Jesus through the Holy Spirit. He reveals Jesus to us and guides us to all truth, which refers to Jesus. Only when we are led by the Spirit are we following Jesus. But the strange thing is this: the Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. Instead, he stays in the background and he points us to Jesus. Maybe that's why we are often unaware of. We take for granted what the Spirit is doing in our lives. Now, as a TDC student, I remember a conversation between my classmate and my lecturer, Dr. Tan Kim Puat, during a class on biblical interpretation. Dr. Tan, why do I need to know all these methods of biblical interpretation and read so many books just to interpret the Bible? Why can't I just ask the Holy Spirit to help me understand the Bible? Dr. Tan replied, you must certainly ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Bible. But what makes you think all these methods of interpretation weren't given by the Spirit to other Christians to help you interpret the Bible? Don't you think the Holy Spirit guided the authors of these books to help you understand the Word of God? Now, Dr. Tan's words made me realize how often I neglect the Spirit's role and work in my life and through other Christians. The Spirit's role as Paracletos isn't the role of an impersonal force, like the wind or qi. In Jesus' absence, the Spirit continues Jesus' ministry of guiding us. The Spirit enlightens our mind, and through other Christians, help us understand the Bible. He equips us with gifts to serve one another. He unites us with Jesus. Now imagine you had a personal tutor who is with you all the time. He's teaching you. He's guiding you through life's challenges, helping you when you need it. Imagine you had a coach. Life coach now is very popular. He sees tremendous spiritual potential in you. He wants to grow you from your current state of spiritual mediocrity to something far beyond anything you can imagine. That's what the Spirit is doing for you and for me, even if we are not aware of it. How much more would we enjoy the new life we have in Jesus? This new life that comes by being in the Spirit. How much more would we know Jesus? Would we love Him? And would we follow Him? If we were more conscious, attentive to the Spirit's presence in our lives. Now, last Friday, my CG member leading worship, I promise her I won't say who she is, shared how she was moved to tears while listening to a song. She said something like this, paraphrase, "This must be the song for worship, as it's been a while since I cried while listening to a song." And indeed, she led us to sing that song, very appropriate song for our cell group meeting last Friday. Now, at that moment, I realized the Spirit had moved her to tears through the song. I sensed the Spirit telling me, "James, I'm with you all the time. Not only when you're praying, studying the Bible, or serving in ministry. I'm with you in the hustle and bustle, the humdrum moments of everyday life. Have you noticed my presence with you?" Now, at that time, it struck me that I failed to notice the Spirit's presence in the fast pace or even in the humdrum moments of life. I sense the Spirit more easily in my spiritual highs or spiritual valleys, in the spectacular, in the supernatural, and not in the ordinary. The busyness of life has crowded out. The monotonous moments has dulled me to the Spirit's involvement in my life. I need to slow down, create space for me to relate to the Spirit, to listen to Him, and not just run my life on my own. I need, and perhaps we need, to be more conscious and attentive to the Spirit. How is the Spirit working in your life? Have you asked yourself? What's the Spirit saying to you in what's happening to you and around you? He speaks to you and to me in subtle ways, through nudges, through impressions, and perhaps a quiet whisper in our hearts. Now, Samantha was struggling with fear and uncertainty after a major life change. She had just moved to a new city, far away from her family and friends, and felt overwhelmed. One evening, in the quiet of her apartment, she found herself crying out to the Lord. She felt lost and unsure. But then, she remembered John chapter 14, verse 26, which says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things, and I remind you of all that I've said to you." In that moment, Samantha felt a gentle, comforting presence surround her. Now, it wasn't an audible voice, but a deep, reassuring sense that she wasn't alone. The Holy Spirit her Parakletos, was right there with her, offering peace, counsel, and strength. Samantha realized she wasn't walking through this new season of her life on her own. The Spirit was her constant companion, guiding and supporting her through every step. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't a force we can manipulate. He has a will of his own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, Paul writes concerning spiritual gifts. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Spirit has a will that's perfectly aligned and in tune with the will of God the Father and God the Son. It's by his will that he distributes spiritual gifts for the edification of the church. Consider what this means to our lives. The Holy Spirit as a person isn't only guiding you. He's also choosing the way you are to serve and the gifts you should receive. That's why you do questionnaires on discovering your spiritual gifts. We don't conduct courses on how to get the spiritual gift of performing miracles. You certainly can ask for spiritual gifts, but it's the Spirit who decides what gift to give us. As believers, you don't have to strive to figure out your purpose in the church. The Spirit has already determined it for you, but that doesn't stop us from finding out. Just as the body has many parts, and each part has its function, the Spirit works within you to equip and empower you for service in the body of Christ. The Spirit knows what's best for the church and for each and every one of us. He actively works out God's plan through you. Indeed, the Holy Spirit isn't at our disposal to be used according to our whims. Rather, he operates according to his own will, distributing gifts, acting in our lives in ways that he sees fit. This can sometimes be a hard truth for us to accept. We may want the Spirit to work in a certain way. We may desire the Spirit to give us spectacular spiritual gifts like prophecy, miracles, wisdom, or even teaching. Or that he will spare us suffering, providing a quick and easy path to bear the fruit of the Spirit. But the Spirit acts as he desires, according to God's greater plan for our good, giving us what seems to be ordinary, but certainly essential gifts of serving, of giving, of administration. Developing the spiritual fruit of love in us by bringing difficult people for us to love. Growing patience in us through suffering, inculcating self-control by overcoming temptation. The Spirit's will is something we must learn to align with. It's like musicians in a symphony orchestra trying to play in harmony with the conductor. Imagine the chaos if every musician played according to their own rhythm, melody, and style. They don't care about harmony, timing, or working together. The Holy Spirit, as a conductor, has a plan for the symphony, and we, as musicians, playing different instruments, must submit to the conductor's direction in order to create a beautiful symphony, something simply wonderful. When we align our wills to the Spirit, we experience a deeper and more fulfilling relationship with God. Now in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 39, when Philip was preaching in Samaria, the Spirit led him to leave his successful, bustling ministry and instead travel to a desert road where he encountered an Ethiopian eunuch. Now the Spirit's guidance led Philip to a moment of obedience and opportunity, resulting in the eunuch's conversion. In this instance, the Holy Spirit's will was clear and specific, guiding Philip to a divine appointment. Church, the Holy Spirit isn't a distant force or just an abstract concept. He is a personal, active companion in our lives. He desires to walk with us. He desires to guide us and to empower us. The Spirit invites us to a deep, intimate relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit also has a will. He isn't subject to our desires, but we are called to submit to His guidance, trusting that His plans for us are far greater than our own. Now, just as we nurture relationships with our friends and our family, we must nurture our relationship with the Spirit. Slow down. Create space for yourself to be aware of the Spirit's presence. Be attentive to His voice. Set aside regular pockets of time throughout the day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening, to pause and be conscious of the Spirit working around you and His desire to commune with you. Be sensitive to the Spirit, cultivating a daily fellowship with Him through prayer, reflection, and obedience. Let us align our lives with His will so that we may experience the fullness of life He desires to give us, a life of purpose, of peace, and of power. Now, while the person of the Holy Spirit is important, we must also understand the crucial role He plays in our lives. The Spirit does so much more than give us power or to make us feel good. His work is transformative, deep, and essential for our salvation and spiritual growth. Now, anyone who has believed Jesus as Savior has the Holy Spirit to thank. You can't take credit for it yourself, because the Spirit initiated the entire process. That's why the first and perhaps most important work of the Holy Spirit is in conviction and regeneration. Now, Jesus tells us in John chapter 16, verses 8 to 11, that the Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin referring here to unbelief in Jesus. Now, everyone is buried so deeply in their sin nature that they can't turn to God in their own power. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts the world of the sin of unbelief in Jesus, making us aware of our need of Jesus as our Savior. This unbelief can only be removed by the Spirit's power. Without the Spirit, we would never realize the depth of our sinfulness or our need for God's grace. This conviction leads to regeneration or being born again. And in John chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about the necessity of being born of the Spirit to enter God's kingdom. In the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus, Nicodemus perceptively notes that no one can bring about his own birth. Have you seen a baby deciding when he is born? Of course not. It's the mother who decides. Jesus highlights that it's only through the Spirit's work that we are spiritually reborn. Spiritual birth is nothing we can do for ourselves. When we respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction, He regenerates us, bringing us from death to life, making us new creations in Jesus. Now, when I was doing my PhD studies in the UK, a former TTC classmate visited my family. Now, this classmate's ministry was reaching out to a group of non-believing intellectuals who has been attending her church. She bombarded my wife, Beng Kui, and me with a series of questions asked by those intellectuals. Through our discussion, she hoped to find ways to respond to them and hopefully lead them to salvation. We talked late into the night, but finally we concluded that it's impossible to answer all their questions satisfactorily. There's the element of faith needed, and it's ultimately the Holy Spirit who will convict them of sin and lead them to faith in Jesus. Now, this was proven by the testimony of one of my TTC students. Let's call him Robert. Now, Robert is from China. He was doing his PhD studies under a Korean professor in NUS, the National University of Singapore. Just you're wondering, they communicated in English. Okay, the professor invited all his postgraduate students to a weekly evangelistic Bible study at his home. I'm not sure why they kept attending. Probably because the wife cooked very good dinner, Korean dinner for them. Now, Robert and his wife, who is a medical doctor, used to ask the professor many questions about the Christian faith and about the Bible. However, they weren't satisfied with the responses. They weren't any step closer to coming to faith in Jesus. Now, on the dark, stormy morning, Robert was about to cross a zebra crossing on his way to NUS. Now, due to the heavy rain, he could hardly see what's in front of him. Suddenly, he heard a loud voice. Ting! That's what my wife said. Okay, in English, it means stop right there. He stopped just as a large lorry zoomed past the zebra crossing right in front of him. Shell-shocked, he looked around him and realized there wasn't anybody. And he wondered, where did that voice come from? The Bible studies he had attended led him to conclude that it was the Holy Spirit who had told him to stop and saved his life. Now, he shared this experience with his wife. They were grateful to God, and they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Robert further shared that not only did the Spirit bring him and his family to faith, the Spirit also opened his eyes of faith so that after the experience, everything in the Bible and the Christian faith began to make sense to him. Now, the fact that the Holy Spirit brings us to faith in Jesus explains the A, ask God, pray, in our church evangelism acronym, Lambs for Christ, that you see up there. After L, look out for someone, is A, ask God, praying for that person whom you plan to have a meal with and to proclaim the gospel to. Sometimes you know exactly what and how to pray for the person that you're planning to witness to. Perhaps something that's bothering him, a hindrance that is not bringing him any closer to Jesus. But we often pray quite generally. For example, for that person to be open to the gospel, etc., rather than praying specifically. I'm sure this isn't the only time you get tongue-tied. Perhaps when you see a churchmate's loved one lying critically ill, hooked up to various life support machines in the hospital, what do you pray for? Do you pray for the loved one to be spared for suffering and be home with the Lord? Or do you pray for the loved one to recover, not knowing whether he or she will continue living in pain and suffering? How then should you pray in such a difficult moment? In such moments, when you just don't know what and how to pray, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. As your helper, the Holy Spirit does something amazing for you in intercession. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27 tells us that likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches our hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, do you see the incredible benefit here? When you get spiritually tongue-tied, the Spirit intercedes on your behalf. In a spiritual language, no words can duplicate. In such moments, the Spirit intercedes for you and for me with prayers that are in perfect alignment with God's will. This is a beautiful example of how intimately the Holy Spirit is involved in our lives. Not only does the Spirit help us to pray, but He intercedes on our behalf before God's throne. Now, John had a deep burden for his lost family members, but he often found himself at a loss for words and prayer. One evening, as he sat in prayer, the Holy Spirit moved him to pray in a way he had never prayed before, groaning in his spirit for his family's salvation. Although John didn't fully understand the groaning, the Holy Spirit was interceding, aligning John's heart with God's will. This powerful prayer eventually led to a breakthrough in John's family, with some coming to faith in Jesus. Church, Reverend Srima shared recently about our church goal of inculcating an evangelistic culture in our church. We are not alone in witnessing for Jesus. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit will empower us to witness for Him. Not only that, it is not just our effort, but the Spirit who convicts non-believers of sin and brings them to faith. And this gives us great confidence as we witness. So let's persevere in praying to God for our non-believing loved ones and friends as we witness to them. We know that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, interceding for us when we don't know what to pray. Now, we've explored some aspects of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit invites you and invites me to begin an adventure with Him, to discover more about Him in the Bible, to experience more of Him in your life. The Spirit is ready, He is willing, and He is able to create a vibrant, exciting, and dynamic spiritual life within you. But the Holy Spirit, now He's a perfect gentleman. He doesn't force Himself on you. He'll wait till you're ready to let Him lead you in your life. Paul told the early Christians to be filled with the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit. Being filled with, walking by, and being led by the Spirit aren't one-time events. They are ongoing actions that you should start now and keep working at. We all need to work harder at surrendering control of our lives to the Spirit. Then we will grow in our relationship with God, becoming more and more like Jesus. It's all a matter of being filled by the Spirit instead of being full of ourselves. Remember, the filling of the Holy Spirit doesn't involve you and me getting more of the Spirit. Rather, it is a matter of letting the Spirit get more of us. Church, will you accept the Spirit's invitation to begin this journey to know Him more, to experience Him more? Will you submit to the Spirit's leadership, letting Him fill you and get more of you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the precious gift of the Spirit. Thank You for His guidance, conviction, intercession, and the fruit He bears in our lives. Holy Spirit, help us to be more sensitive to Your voice, to walk with You daily. Fill us, lead us. May we grow in our relationship with Jesus through You. In the name of our Lord Jesus we pray. Amen.
In response, may this song be your prayer. May this song speak to you. So take time as you listen to the song, meditate on it. Join me if you can to sing. May I invite you to rise with me? And teach us to come to you in submission, to allow you to change and to dictate how you want us to live a life that will best glorify God's holy name. This we pray in us in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Please be seated.